Okay, sir, could you please state your name, your ABC number for us for the record, please?
My name is Kevin Dean Shute. The number is 170014.
Okay, so we're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members and the DOC, Department of Correction, representing the parole officers that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right, sir, you see the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones, sir. In the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair, sir. And to my left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair. And also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole office, is Mr. Osborne. Sir, prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Today your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. I am going to read you. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you, Mr. Shute. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether that allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, the allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report for a face-to-face contact visit on or about January 24, 2017, as verbally directed on January 10, 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. And based on the admission of Mr. Shute, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about to lapse into criminal ways of company, as he was in absconding from supervision.
Second.
Proceed. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will determine whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to be coming back to you, Mr. Shute, to get any additional information from you or any information you'd like to provide to the board. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. Mr. Shute was released from DOC custody on August 12th, 2016. He was arrested on September 29th, 2017 from the Phoenix Police Department under the government status and was returned back to our custody that same day with 248 full-time days, with the community supervision ending on July 8th of 2018. Current conviction, 2009, prior familiar violation, 1 year. In 2009, theft of means of transportation, 7 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2002, theft, 1 year. 2002, theft of means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2002, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2003, trafficking in stolen property, 5 counts, 6 years. He has 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is SGG and gang information noted. During an interview, he admitted to being a peckerwood, but is no longer active or political, and his views have changed. Prior terms of supervision, 2008, CIA subconded 57 days, revoked. He has a significant disciplinary history with smuggling, fighting, promoting prison contraband, threatening, intimidating, and possession of drugs noted. Other arrests, 1998, simple assault, New Hampshire unknown. 2000, harassment, New Hampshire unknown. 2001, assault, AZ misdemeanor conviction, probation. And 2002, drug paraphernalia violation, AZ felony conviction, probation. And he has a community risk score of G7 to B8.
Okay, Mr. Shoup, I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside at TLC Halfway House located at 843 West Thurber in Tucson, Arizona. Then it looks like on August 24th of 16, you were approved to reside with your son, Saxon Shoup, at 4055 East Lee Street in Tucson. It also says that Don Rochelle, yeah, you were working during that period of time. So let me ask you two questions. So were you working during that period of time, and why did you move away from your son's residence?
Well, to be honest with you, it's been quite a few years since I've been around my son. The last time I seen him, he was only 10 years old. And I really wasn't prepared to deal with his attitude, I guess you could say. He came across to me like I owed him something for all the years that I was out there, which in a way I kind of do. I don't want to lie. And am I sorry that I wasn't there for him all those years? Absolutely. There's nothing that I regret more than that. And have I been a bad person? Yes, I have. I've been a bad person. I've tried changing my ways, and every day I work towards that. The reason why I no longer resided with my son was because things fell apart between him and I. His attitude with me, I wasn't quite prepared to deal with the way he was treating me. You know, I'm used to a lot of respect for being here, and to be honest with you, I wasn't prepared for it out there. I really wasn't. I got institutionalized. I was out for quite a while. Now I feel like I'm a little bit better prepared for it. But my grandmother was in Phoenix, and she was having a lot of problems with my dad, and the city was on her to get the house cleaned up. And I put in for transfer to Phoenix because I was staying there helping my grandma trying to get the house cleaned up. And that fell through, and I'll be honest with you, I've had a drug problem nearly all my life. I fell off the wagon, so to speak, and I started using. I couldn't leave one of my appointments. I got scared, and I just didn't come back. I was trying to help my grandmother get herself situated so that she didn't sit in jail for something that my father had done, because she's in her 80s, she's suffering from dementia. And, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for my father and my parole. That's on me. I accept full responsibility for that. I also accept full responsibility for my problems that I've had in my past. I didn't know that they were going to sit here on this one charge that I'm in prison for and bring up everything I've ever done in my life. I didn't know that was part of the parole process. This is the first time that I've ever had a parole hearing. The last time I was on parole, I just accepted my terms and my conditions and did my time. However, I have a problem with the amount of time that I've done on my sentence. I've gone over there with the CO4, and he's told me to bring it up to you all's attention. I've got inside 8 years and almost 4 months on the 7.5-year sentence. That's why I gave my good time on the streets. I don't understand why I'm still here. Yes, I did take off on parole. I didn't come back and report. That is my mistake, but at what point does this prison term end? Because, like I say, I've done the math, and at most, I should do 8 years and a couple months with the parole tail and all on my prison term that the judge imposed on me, but yet I've passed that, and they're still asking me to stay until July 8th of next year. Now, 2013, I was at CIVAC unit, and yes, like the other officer had mentioned, I've had a lot of tickets, a lot of problems, a lot of drug problems, and I've been working on those every day. I try to address those every day. But in 2014, I went to a counselor, and I asked her, at what point can DOC quit taking time and keep moving my date back away from me? Okay, because when I first came down, I could have got my 85% in 2015. My dad got moved back to 2016. And at that point in time, her name was Seal Florida, and she's in Stafford now. She worked on the computer. She moved to Washington for 10 or 20 years.
Mr.
Seal said, so, okay, at this point, this is where it stops.
Mr. Seal.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you, sir, because your time that you are actually incarcerated, all of that, this board has no control over that, sir. All of that's going to have to be taken up with your CO3 and the Department of Corrections. This board has no authority or say-so over that. We only respond to the time count that is given us by the Department of Department. And they give us...
Well, I told you to address this with you.
No, sir.
The CO3 and the CO4.
Well, sir, what I'm explaining to you is that the Department of Correction, your CO3 and TimeCom are the ones who determine when you become eligible for release. It also determines when you become eligible for community supervision. And so that would have to be taken up in TimeCom. This board has no authority over that. We only respond when they send us notification that you're eligible or that you're coming up for parole, sir, so that time comp information, that all of that information would have to be taken up with them, sir. What I do want to go over is your warrant that you have here, sir, where you were an absconder for 248 days, and it appears that your PO had been working with you, and it also shows that you were in, I believe, in Tucson, and you asked to be transferred into Phoenix so that you could assist your grandmother, that you were staying with your grandmother during that period of time. However, your PO had informed you that you needed to stay at the halfway house until you were approved to stay with your grandmother. And you never reported to the halfway house. Is that right, sir?
No, sir, that is not. That is incorrect. Okay. I couldn't get a halfway house to accept me. They put me in a homeless shelter, and after 7 days of being in that homeless shelter, I had nowhere else to go. Salvation Army place down there, and on the seventh day they told me this is your last night, we can no longer keep you here.
Okay,
they took me out on the street.
Okay, well, I'm just going by what I have. It says that on December 27, 2016, that you were told to establish residence at a Tucson halfway house until your case investigation was complete. Is that right?
It may say that, but that's not how it went down.
Okay.
I tried, and I went with my PO. I went in to see my parole officer on a few scheduled visits to get them to help me to find a place, to even get them to help me for job placement. And all I got was, here's some numbers, try and call these people. I tried and call these people because I didn't have employment, I didn't have a job. None of the halfway houses would accept me.
Okay, sir, it also says that they denied your transfer, but it says that the PO spoke to your grandmother, who stated that because of your actively using drugs, he was unwilling to allow you to live with, continue to reside at a residence, at which time your case transfer was denied.
That's right.
Okay.
That is correct.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to... What are you doing for this 248 days that you're out there? As an abstainer, what are you doing?
Yes, sir. Well, I did have a job for quite a number of months. I was working for Ron's Trucking in Phoenix, and I got fired from there, you know. And I met a woman, and I've got a good girlfriend, and you know, like I said, I'm trying to work on myself, and I'm trying to get myself in a position where I can go out there and help her with the rent and, you know, the bills, and I'm trying to reestablish my relationship with my son because I'm about to be a grandfather, and you know, that's pretty much it. I've been going to PNA and AA in here, and I'm still addressing my drug problems, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys and tell you guys that, oh, it's this guy's fault and it's that guy's fault, because it's not. It all falls on me. I understand that. And all I can do is work on me every day.
That's a good thing. So what were you doing when you caused you to have contact with Phoenix PD?
I was actually standing in front of the bar waiting for my girlfriend to come and pick me up. I was going to go spend the weekend with her, and Monday I was going to turn myself in for treatment. I've never been to treatment, and she wanted me to do nothing more than to go to treatment and address my problem, my issues with DOC. And in a way, I'm kind of glad it worked out the way it did. So now I'm getting this addressed and I'm getting it over with.
So you were standing in front of the bar and police just pulled up and arrested you? What happened?
No, I was in the bar is right beyond my grandma's house. And I had been in the alley picking up some bicycle parts of mine that my dad's friend had given to me. And the barmaid thought that I was trying to jump over the fence or whatever, and that's what the police told me. That's why they showed up on me. They rolled up on me, they were told that I had a warrant, and that's why they pushed up on me.
You are aware, sir, that one of the conditions of your community supervision that you are not to use alcohol or any substance abuse, right?
I was just standing in front of the bar using the Wi-Fi, sir. I was not in the bar drinking or anything like that.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you at this time. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Shoup, it looks like there were, one of the things you said was that you were working for a trucking company. I didn't get the name of it, but that you got fired. Why did you get fired?
Well, I had a few tardies and a few absences, and they just had enough of me.
Okay.
It falls back to my drug problem. You know?
Okay. So it was an attendance issue, not necessarily job performance.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to note, sorry, I'll turn my mic on. Just wanted to note that on speaking about residents of Salvation Army on 110 when he spoke to the PO, he said he could stay there until Saturday if he was aware. Then he had worked out to stay at the Primavera Men's Shelter on Benton Highway. That's where he was supposed to go next after Salvation Army. It was already pre-planned. And then on 110 also, a UA from 19 came in where he's positive for methamphetamine and THC. The offender said that his last use was on 12/27. But there again, methamphetamine only stays in your system for 3 days, for 72 hours. I just wanted to note that, sir.
Okay. All right, so does the board have any additional questions? All right, Mr. Shoup, is there anything else you'd like to tell the board? The board's about to go into discussion. During discussion, sir, we would make a decision whether we vote to reinstate the community supervision. Is there anything else you'd like to present to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I would like to say this. I would like to give it one more shot at it. The only thing I can do is go out there and prove to you guys that I'm ready to do right. I would like to try to go to Sacramento and Tucson and stay at that halfway house to have them help me with some of my issues that I have, you know, my underlying issues, plus also be able to work and pay on my parole fees. I'm clean. I plan on staying clean. My girlfriend that I have, she's been clean for 5 years, and there's no way that she would ever put up with me using again. That was part of the agreement. That's why I was going to spend the weekend with her and go into treatment. But with all that being said, you know, I was like, one more shot. That's all I could ask for.
All right, Mr. Shoup. The board's going to go into discussion, so a lot of boards in discussion. We're going to ask you to stay on the phone. However, sir, we're going to ask you to also remain silent while the board makes a decision. After the board has made its decision, we will get right back to you with the decision of the board. We'll be able to hear the deliberations of the board as we'll discuss your case, sir, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, so the board's now in discussion. Mr. Shoup apparently had the opportunity to possibly participate in some programs. He was trying to assist his grandmother who was in Phoenix, and they were working on trying to get him transferred from Tucson to Phoenix. However, appears that the PO talked to the grandmother who did want him to stay there after he had a continued use of drugs. He didn't want him to stand there. Mr. Shoup absconded for 57 days in 2008, and he was absconded for 238 days during this period of time before he had contact with the Phoenix Police Department and was arrested on his absconding warrant. He will be released on July 18th, 2018? I believe it is, I'm not sure. The writing on my warrant. Mr. Osborne, July 18th, 2018?
Yes, sir.
He will be released on July 18, 2018. I think, because of the 248 days of being in Uganda for his continued use of drugs and his testing positive during his UA, Mr. Shoup would be better off to do the remainder of his time while he's incarcerated. Hopefully continue to go to NA or AA classes, which he says he's attending now. And when he's released, he won't be on any community supervision or parole. Hopefully he'll be able to get out and get with his girlfriend and be a productive citizen. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Okay, then no other comments from the board. I'm then going to make the motion and move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Shoup, violated with the linker, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, had lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways or company, that he was an absconder for 248 days, and he had tested positive for drugs.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Shoup, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, so you will be released with no community supervision or parole on July 18th of 2018, sir. I want to thank you for participating in your hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Shoup.
Thank you.